Amen. Because he is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. Amen. Amen. We're in the midst of praise, and we thank God for the privilege of praise. Amen. So many privileges we have that God gives us. Thank God for the musicians' support today. And thank God for the choir director today. Amen. Amen. We thank God for every expression. Amen. And we thank him just that we are able to continue on in his name. Now, some of you who have been with us, you were aware that we have been going through some particular messages. And today we come to another that's in this series of celebrating the progress and the anniversary of the church. Moving forward, I always think of our personal anniversaries as a smaller part of a bigger succession of the church, which Jesus began back in the days of the apostles, back 2015 some odd years ago, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
All right.
Let's say in that first century when he initiated the church, which was the fulfillment of God's promises that he had made in eternity past to Abraham through Moses, that he gave that word to the world that it would be through the seed of Abraham that the whole world would be blessed. Amen. So when we think about the progress of the church, as we look at ourselves as a portion of that, it's a part of a bigger thing that God was doing and that God is doing. And the good thing about it that I like is he said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Amen. So he promises that the church will go on no matter what happens in the world. There's nothing in the world that can stop the progress of God's church.
Nothing.
Amen. The true church will go on. It's built and founded upon the rock of revelation. Amen. That God reveals to those who trust in the name of Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. He says, whoever is doing that shall be saved.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to move along here, not to prolong the time, and we want to talk about a subject that we have set before you. Something that, what's the difference between those who are saved and those who are lost? How does the world know the difference? We want to talk about that. We always see, this is one thing came to my mind I thought I would throw in here at this point this morning. So many times we see going down the street, you'll see a bumper sticker that says coexist.
Yep.
And we talk about that so often. It has all these so-called religious symbols on it. You know, and has anybody ever thought about that God is the one who is coexisting with a bunch of foolishness? God, he is the one who is coexisting with all kinds of foolishness. He started it when he started with Adam, and Adam started to put down something that was ungodly. And so God has been tolerating foolishness all the way from the day one, from the time sin entered into the world. And we won't talk about coexist among ourselves. How about God? God is the one coexisting with you, with all of whatever it is that the world throws out there. They all call it religion and ways to get to the one and only true God. But yet God is the one putting up with all that. And God has one story, and he is not the author of confusion. He's not trying to confuse or trick anybody. That's why he configured the world around Christ. So really, these other people really have no excuse. I don't know if the church has been diligent to explain that. So often we want to try to build bridges with people who are going in the wrong direction rather than correcting them. The purpose of the church, Jesus said, is go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. That means everybody. I'm not supposed to coexist with you. I'm going to coexist because I don't have any choice. You know, there's no way I can do it now unless I can go to another planet. I see there are some people talking about, I'm going to go to Mars. Well, when you get up there, it's cursed with sin too. And I hope you take Jesus with you, because otherwise when you die, you're going to hell. You know, so you can go to Mars and try to get away from it if you like. You know, but the curse of sin is in the whole creation. And God has one answer and one solution for that situation. And he has given it and published it in time so it cannot be ignored. And that is his son, Jesus Christ. It's 2015 only because of Jesus Christ. And God has centered his son, no one else. None of these other religious systems are centered in time.
Right.
So we're going to coexist, all right, but I'm going to tell you about Christ.
All right.
Because that's my duty. I've been dispatched to tell you, no matter who you are, because he said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I love that. So, yes, we will coexist. We will put up with you just like God has been doing. But God has one way for you to be saved, Mr. or ma'am, whoever you are. And I'm going to tell you about him, because God has configured the word around him. The world is configured around him. The word and the world are configured around him. You see, and the good word and the good news from God is that God so loved the world, not just whoever you want to put into a bracket, but the world, that means everybody, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means any of you anywhere on the planet, whosoever believes in him, that means Jesus Christ, whoever in the world believes in Jesus Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has promised everlasting life to everyone who trusts in his son. So yes, I will coexist no matter what you claim, but my duty and my, let's call it my commission from God,
is
to tell you about Christ.
And
he said to confront the world with the gospel. And that is good news. And see, the thing that gets me is how people don't want to hear good news. Don't tell me that good news. I don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear the good news? Because there is no other news except good news, except that God has settled your account one way through his son. That's the only good news, because if you try something else, Jesus said, if you come any other way, you come as a thief and a robber. Now, do you think God is going to accept thieves and robbers?
No,
he said, when I come, he says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. So you need to get ready. Everyone needs to get ready. But it's not bad news. This is the part that disturbs me. It's not bad news. God loves you.
Yes, he does.
No matter what you think or what you were taught, he loves you, and he's shown you his love. He demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's a historic fact. It's centered in time. You cannot deny it. Now, you may want to deny it, but I want to prompt you. Look at your calendar. Check the calendar. Find out, is it about Jesus or something else? When you check it, you're going to come back saying it's about Jesus, because it is. No question about that. It's 2015 because Christ was born approximately 2,015 years ago. And the world is centered around him, no matter who likes it or who divides with it or who has another system. Your system wasn't bad enough to get you in the midst of the calendar, baby. I want to tell you now. I want to let you know, whatever your system was, it couldn't get you in the middle of the calendar. Jesus is in the middle of the calendar. So I think that gives him a credential that you ought to observe and you ought to pay attention to. But let's talk about a little bit here in the time we have. We don't have a lot of time as we do, so we don't want to waste any of it. But I want you to see that we're turning the corner now into a new season, and I have prepared a series of messages addressing the heart attitude of the church today. That's what we're talking about here briefly, which is seemingly operating more and more on self-reliance. The church tries to hold forth some kind of doctrine and support itself rather than the central thing that the church really is, which is the gospel of Christ. The church has all these different things that it tries to purport to the world. And so what I want you to see is that the people of God have a tendency to get out of whack, just like the covenant people did back in the days of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied to Israel, who were the called out chosen people, just before they went into captivity. Now you might wonder, why would God let the covenant people go into captivity? The reason is because they forgot about him. They decided they do it their way. They had the same kind of a mindset. We're going to do this our way. You know, we had a Frank Sinatra mindset. I did it my way. Your way is going to get you in trouble. God has a way. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In the Proverbs, that's in there twice. You know, it might seem right to you, or it may feel right to me to be a certain thing, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, so we want to prompt the world to understand that God really does love you.
Yes, he does.
No matter who you are. And he has one way that you can be made right, and that is what we call the gospel, the good news. And so God sent news to his own people from the southern kingdom, and they were chastised by God just before going into captivity by the Babylonians and other Gentiles. So we want you to listen today. we're going to address this message, and I want you to understand today what distinguishes the true church from the false church.
All right.
What is it that makes you different? Mm-hmm. You know, and we're not being different for the sake of being different. It's that right. When we understand the truth, right. That something about that relationship we have with God makes us distinct.
Yes, yes. It does.
To the world. And that's what we want to talk about. So I want to use the topic today, distinguished by true holiness.
Amen.
Now, holiness is something that is the Bible uses to describe God himself. God is the only one who is holy. Did you know that? No one else is holy but God. That's what holy means. In other words, there's nobody like him.
Nobody.
Anywhere. Nobody, no force, no power, no anything in the creation that compares with him. He is better than everything.
Yes,
he is higher than everything.
Yes, he is.
He is in a category of his own.
Yes.
None are holy but the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? But now God, on the other hand, chooses to share holiness with me and you. He will share his holiness with you if you are willing to receive it. But he has a way in which he does that. And so we want to talk about that. How are we distinguished to be the people of God? And the answer is by true holiness. Now, man has what they call holiness. They have a standard that they say, if you do these 10 things, do these things here, walk around this way, that way, do the sacraments, the rituals, then that makes you holy. But not according to the scripture. Only God is holy. The angels cried forth in Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. You look around, the world is an awesome place. God has made a very, very fascinating place for you and I to live in.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff here that's just way amazing. Yeah. We're in a room full of invisible things that we can't see any of them, but the room is filled with oxygen. It's filled with nitrogen. It's got all kinds of stuff in it that we can't see. There's magnetism, even sound. God made sound. It's an invisible thing. It goes through the air, and he gave you some receptors to pick it up on either side of your head.
Yeah.
We call them ears. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, and God has got all kinds of invisible stuff. We could take the whole day talking about stuff we have never seen that's in the world. And God did that so that we would have no problem believing in that which is invisible. He filled the world with invisible things all around you. A lot of stuff is visible. But it's the Bible says they're made of things which are invisible.
That's right. Amen.
And then they thought that was a crazy statement at one time until they started finding out stuff was made with atoms and molecules. And they started to find out about the microcosm and the things that are solid or a series of things that are nearly invisible. You can't see them. But he holds it all together, basically. And he keeps everything that is solid. He spoke, which was a word that's invisible, to create the things that are visible. And the things that are invisible, the Bible says. We're not really talking about that today, but I'm just fascinated when I think about the scientific side of God. You know, that he made all things. Basically, he filled the world with invisible things.
Yes.
People believe all the invisible things that he made. You know, but then they want to say we don't believe in God because we can't see him and he's invisible. Oh, okay. But you believe in gravity. You believe in all kinds of things that are invisible. I can start talking about Freon and oxygen, and we can talk about nitrogen and magnetism and all kinds of stuff you've never seen. You trust all of it. But you say you don't believe in God, some people say. And so God did that intentionally. But we're going to talk about it a little. What happens what distinguishes God's people from the rest of the people in the world? And you know, we only want to be distinct because God has given us a mission.
Yes.
You and I have a mission. God wants all the people on the earth to be saved.
Yes.
That's the reason why he gave his son, made him the most famous person in the world. He's the only one that time is counted by, Jesus Christ, the only one, no one else. And he wants that so that no man or woman has any reason to deny him.
Yes.
And then now, since he is that famous and he's in the middle of your time, whether you like him or not, whether you believe something else or not, why don't you ask yourself the question, who is he? And why did God do that? Why did God put his son in the middle of time?
Yeah.
Why did he do that? Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he loves you.
Yes.
He wanted him to be famous so you wouldn't overlook him.
Amen.
You wouldn't try to come another way. The Bible says if we come any other way, we come as a thief and a robber.
Yes.
See, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. No one comes to the Father but by me. But what happens when the covenant people get hung up in ritual and ceremony and they escape away from the basic truths about God. That's what we want to talk about here today. So I'm going to call your attention to a couple of texts, a few verses from Jeremiah chapter 9. We set these before you, verses 23 to 26, which is the conclusion of the ninth chapter. And I would invite you, when you have opportunity sometime today, to read the rest of the chapter. It's beautiful. Before that, you'll see what happened, and it'll help you understand what we're saying here this morning. But I'm going to ask the deacons to go ahead and do a reading today. And also, last week, we started in this 12th chapter of Hebrews, and we're going to continue on in that chapter today for today's message. So we're going to have a reading of the scripture. We'd like to ask you at this time to stand as the deacons read the word, if you're able, and if you're not, just be comfortable right where you are and listen to the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, said the Lord. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt, and Judah, and Edom, and the children of Ammon, and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners, that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart.
All right, amen. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And now for the reading of the New Testament scripture.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in our minds. Ye have not yet resisted in the blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom you receive. If he endures chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not children. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and who gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of all of spirit and live?
Mm-hmm. In verse 10.
For they verily for a few days shapeless us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
Yes.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
Zooming in on verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, speaking of God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen. We're going to talk about distinguished by true holiness. Let us have a word of prayer. Everlasting God, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your children who are here today. We thank you for every home, every family that's represented here, Father. We thank you for your sweet spirit who has been with us here all morning, Lord, as we have worshiped you and prayed and sought your face and giving you all that we can, Father, in our praise that we know how, Father. We thank you that you have been here to comfort us, oh God. Now we pray for our ears, that you would open them, that we might hear what the Spirit saith to the churches.
Yes.
We pray for understanding in our mind, Lord, that your word might come alive, God, and help us to be the men and women that you are calling for in these last and evil days. Father, we thank you for that phrase that you are willing to share your holiness with those who are truly your children. God, that we might partake of that which only you possess, Lord, holiness and truth, oh God. We give you praise right now, Lord. We ask you to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, open up our eyes, Father, that we might see marvelous things in your word, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it all in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to talk with you about distinguished by true holiness. Verse 10 says that he talks about how our fathers, earthly parents, chastened us. Now, sometimes I know that can be a sore subject on earth, because sometimes we didn't have good relationships necessarily with our fathers or even with our parents. Some of us did, some didn't. But now we're talking about God, who is ultimately our Father. And he has protected you. He kept you no matter what you went through, no matter how you were raised or reared in the
That's
world.
Right.
He allowed you to continue to go on, no matter what kind of a relationship you may have had. But he uses the example of the earthly father who chastises their child to basically bring them to a better place, or a place where they should obey what their parents have said. You know, the Ten Commandments had said, children, obey thy parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with the promise that you may live long upon the earth.
Yes.
And sometimes we had trouble with that. I know I did. I didn't do everything my parents told me to do. I was kind of a reckless little person for the most part, and did all kind of stuff. I had to be chastised a number of times. And then by the time I got to the age of 17, I knew the stuff I wanted to do by then was so bad that I said, you know what, I can't do this stuff at my father's house. I had enough sense to figure that out. So I hit the bricks. I got moving. I said, I'm not going to stay here, because I know he won't allow me to do this stuff that I want to do. And so I moved out. I had good sense. I said, I got to get going, because I know he ain't going to put this down. I didn't want to stay there and fight with him and find out who was going to win that battle, because I figured he would certainly beat me, you know. So I said, let me get up out of here. So I did. I left when I was very young. But I just said all that to say we have sordid relationships sometimes with our parents. And so he uses a particular typical type of scenario here in the book of Hebrews to say that your parents chasing you, but I still understood what chastening was, and I knew he was going to chastise me because some of the things I wanted to do were not right. And so I had enough sense to get out of that situation, if you want to be involved with that. But God used all of that to turn me around and get me turned around and get me on the right track. And, you know, I was thinking in my mind, if I leave, my father's not going to leave me out here. He'll come and get me. And he was smart enough to say, nope, you left. That's on you, buddy. You know, he had no sense to leave me alone. And then he said, because he had already told me, you know, y'all might not have heard nothing like this. I'm just going to share this with you. He said, you know, whatever you want to learn from me, he told me one day, Nemo is going to teach you. And I'm thinking, Nemo? Who in the world is that? You know, I couldn't figure that out. Nemo? Never heard of that. And so when I got out there, I learned who Nemo was. Nemo has taught me a whole lot of things, you know. And I didn't even know I knew him, but he came right into my life and taught me all sorts of stuff. You know, I'm still learning from Nemo right now today. Good teacher, let me say. He'll teach you how to do stuff the way your parents tried to get you to do it, and you wouldn't do it. He'll teach you stuff that you didn't learn when you should have learned it, but eventually you will get it if you keep on living. But in either case, I just say that to say that the earthly parents do their very best within the framework they have to get us to do what's right. You know why? Because they have already learned what's right. Most of the time they have made mistakes or stumbled over things or didn't get it right, and they don't want you to go through the stuff they went through. And so in this case, he uses that as a comparison. That actually comes out of the Proverbs chapter 3 here in Hebrews chapter number 12. And I'm zooming in on this verse because he said in the Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father of the son in whom he delights. Now, the father's not doing it because he is against you. He's doing it because he delights in you. You're my son.
Yes.
I delight in you. I want you to do the right thing. I want you to have the best. You know what? Think about this one now. Put this one in your pipe and smoke it here, if you don't mind if I say it that way. You know, when God made Adam, he had made the whole world. As awesome as the world is, And when he got through with everything, he said, let us make man on the sixth day. Mm-hmm. After he made everything. Mm-hmm. And let him have dominion over the earth and over everything I made. I'm giving you authority over this thing called the earth.
Yes.
So God was showing, I love you, Adam.
That's right, man.
I'm making this thing for you, and I'm putting you in it, giving it to you, giving you control of the whole thing. So God has his cards on the table. It's kind of how your parents are. We want you to have the best that we can provide.
Yes.
You know, but you know what? We don't do the right thing all the time. So Adam didn't do the right thing. He decided that since his wife had blown it, that he would blow it also. You know. I want, and I think it was willful. Some people have said this, and we don't have time to talk about this morning. Because Adam knew what he was doing. He got tricked. The devil tricked her. And with his eyes wide open, he said, hey, she went into it, I'm doing it too. And he willfully did it. Kind of like Jesus. He tasted death for every one of us in order that he could save us. So Adam was kind of like trying to be the savior for Eve, if you will. We don't have time to talk about that whole subject. But I want you to see here today that the purpose that God did that is he wants man to partake of his holiness. He wants you to desire righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
And the only acceptable righteousness there can be since the very beginning is that which God gives you. Mm-hmm. He shares his righteousness with us. See that in verse 10 in Hebrews chapter 12? It says that we might be partakers of his holiness. God wants you to partake of his holiness.
Yes.
He wants you to be like him.
Yes.
You see, and you know what? We want to be like him for the right reason and in the right ways. The only acceptable righteousness is that which God awards to the ones who believe and trust in Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, yet all who have really done so also realize the horrible pit that they have been saved from, and therefore they seek to know God with a true intimacy which tends to adjust each believer more and more to the true holiness of God with the passing of time. It's a relationship that we enter into. And once you understand that God loves you, no matter what you did, he gave his son to pay that bill.
Yes.
No matter what you are going to do, he knows there's going to be some stuff we do we haven't done yet. But Jesus died at one moment in time to cover you for all your sin. Past, present, and future. And it's a beautiful thing when you hear the gospel. And he said, but I want you to know this is how much I love you. I love you so much that I had my son come, because otherwise your sin would corrupt me. Mm-hmm. You know what? If God let us go and there was no payment made for our sin, he wouldn't be considered a just God.
That's right. That's
but
right.
The way it is now, since Christ took the penalty, mm-hmm. he paid the debt. One man caused us all to be in sin, so God fixed it so that one man can cause all who trust in him to be righteous.
That's
see?
Right.
See? And so Christ paid the penalty for our sin.
Yes.
And so therefore God can maintain his perfect holiness. Because his son took the debt.
That's right.
He punished him. He allowed the punishment, the wrath that we deserve to fall on him. Mm-hmm. In order that he could give us the righteousness that we could never deserve or that we do not earn. Mm-hmm. So there's a double exchange when you trust in Jesus Christ. God takes your sin
yes.
off of you and puts it on Christ,
yes.
where he punished it there when Jesus was crucified. And then at the same time, by faith, he covers you with the righteousness of Christ,
yes.
so that when he looks at me, I'm covered with the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, God gives me positional holiness by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the good news is he doesn't do that just because you're so special or you're
right.
so wonderful.
Amen.
He does it because you have faith and you believe in him.
Amen.
And this is even better news, that he wants to do it for everybody. On the planet.
Yes,
yeah.
he does.
And so you and I get to share in the privilege of sharing that. That's why I say it's good news, because I don't have to go to bed at night wondering, am I right with God? Mm-hmm. Is my account covered? See, the true answer is God covered it for me. He gave his son so that I could know for sure that I am forgiven. So now I want you to see what happens, though. What happens when people get into a relationship with the Lord and then they start trying to do it their own way rather than doing it God's way? This is what happened to the Israelites back in the book of Jeremiah. They started to trust in their own wisdom.
Yep.
They started to trust in the things that they had built up for themselves.
Yes.
And so Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't go thinking you're all that because God allowed you to get wisdom.
Yeah.
Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. You may have accomplished a lot of things. Don't go start saying, hey, look what I did, and you know, boasting and showing off. He says, don't do that. He says here, but let him that glorieth, if you want to glory in something, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. See, it's about your relationship with God. That I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth.
Yes.
For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You want to boast? Boast in God.
Boast in God.
Boast right. About how awesome God is. About how delightful he is. About how merciful he is.
Yes.
About how righteous he is.
Yes.
About how forgiving he is.
Amen.
About how kind he is.
Amen.
Anytime somebody tries to give you some praise, say, hey, my God is the one worthy of praise, not me. You know, to God be the glory. That's what we say, right?
Yes.
Why? Because we want to make sure you understand this is all about what he did for me.
That's right.
It's not so much about what I'm doing and how impressed you might be.
Yes.
It's about the glory of my Father who blessed me with these things. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them that are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Now, that almost sounds like a paradox. The circumcision was a thing that God had given to Abraham to distinguish them from other people.
Yep.
He said, you shall be circumcised in the foreskin of your flesh.
Yep.
And this is going to set you apart from Gentiles who don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that it would require a particular state of mind. The physical operation never really did anything. It was the fact that I'm making a relationship with you. God had required this to be done to the male children. Eventually, in the law, it had to be done on the eighth day. You had to be circumcised on the eighth day in the foreskin of your flesh.
Yes.
Keep in mind this, too. Now, this is kind of deep here, so listen carefully. He would cut, what circumcision is cutting around the foreskin of the male organ. Okay, all life came through the male organ to the seed into the world.
Yes, it did.
So it's the cutting away. It required blood and the removal of the flesh.
Yeah.
See? And so God was showing something there that all men must come through this way to come into the world. And it's a symbol. It was a token of the relationship that God had with man. And basically that came to be known as a token between God and the people who believed him. You know what? Back in those days, it took a lot of faith for you to have a surgery of that sort.
Yes, it did. Amen.
Because people, it wasn't like it is today. We circumcise the kids today. It's a little bit less traumatic than it would have been at the time of Abraham. You know, particularly in his case, because he was circumcised when he was an old man. And Ishmael was 13. See, when you're a baby, you don't know that they're doing this to you. So it's kind of a whole other story. But back in those days, it took some faith for you to say, okay, go ahead, slice away. You know what I'm saying? Because that was a very critical part of the male anatomy. And so basically, circumcision came to be the symbol of the relationship with God. And so what it meant is that you trust God and you have faith in God. And the people who didn't trust God basically were uncircumcised. They didn't practice circumcision. So that became a physical, external symbol of your relationship with God. Kind of like in the church. Do you know baptism is very similar? From the perspective that I can't look at you and tell whether you've been baptized or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless I watch how you behave.
That's right.
You know, I can't go around saying, oh, I'm dripping wet, therefore, you know, I've been baptized. You know, baptism basically is a secret thing between you and God.
That's what
and the way you behave is what lets me know, have you been baptized?
All right.
Do you walk in the things of God?
Yes.
You know, and it's visible by the holiness that you exude in life by the things that you do. You know, sometimes you hear people saying stuff, you go, boy, this person couldn't have ever been baptized, could they? By the way, their mouth shows off the fact that they don't sound like somebody who's saved by the way they talk.
Yes.
And so basically it's your behavior, your true holiness, the way you actually live your life that shows people whether you are saved or not. It's not a matter of the ceremony that you went through or any ritual that you may have had done on you or anything of that sort. It has to do with the way you live your life, the way you walk, as the scripture says. No, your walk. How do you walk? How is your walk with God?
Yes.
So Israel got to the place where they were doing the same things that the Gentiles who had not been circumcised did. And they thought all God wants is to go through the ritual. And once I go through the ritual, I'm okay. No, it's not about that. You know, It's about how you actually live your life.
That's right.
God didn't call us to leave us the way we were.
That's right.
He called us to change the way we live.
Amen.
The way we see the world, how we view the world, what we consider to be right and what's wrong.
Yes.
And so we're supposed to walk in the truth once he saves us. Yes, he gives you the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
And he wants you to walk in the truth. Yes. And so we'll know that you are clean in heart by the way you walk, not necessarily by the rituals that you have done. And so Israel got to the place where they thought, oh, you know, we had the ritual, now we can live like the rest of the Gentiles. And God was upset because now you're saying that this is the way you think you best represent your father. You know, so it was a stain on your father. Have you ever had a situation where you did something and then you go, your father say, you don't, people in our family don't do that, you know. And primarily you see that we show off a bad side in our family. And our parents are embarrassed at sometimes at the things that we do because we don't do the right thing. And so basically this is the same way it is here with the Lord. Israel had gotten to the point where they were doing the same things that the Gentiles did. So God says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. There's no difference between you and them. Egypt and Judah. Now here it is. Egypt is where they were called out of.
That's right.
Judah is where they were called to. Edom and the children of Ammon, those are the people who are always opposing them, and Moab, and all the nations at the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel who are uncircumcised in the heart. See that?
Yep.
In other words, you're not living up to the calling that I have called you to.
Amen.
And so God says, what I'll do for you is I'll punish you. Mm-hmm. Just like a father chastens his children, that's what we see here in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Hebrews 12 and 1, he looks back in chapter 11 at all those people who persevered in their relationship with God by faith. He says, wherefore, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. That's anything that will slow you down from running with God. It may not be sin. It might just be wasted time. You know, lay it aside. Find out what stuff is wasting your time and what stuff is going to move you forward in your walk with God. If it's wasting your time and it's worthless, doesn't have a spiritual benefit, assess that thing and put it behind you.
Yeah.
See, and the sin. Notice what it says there next, Hebrews 12 and 1. Lay aside the weight, that's bulk or excess, and lay aside the sin, which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Now, I like the fact that he uses the word patience because you and I need patience. You know, God has chosen to deal with us for the rest of our lives. He's declared you holy from the very beginning.
Yes.
And if you trust in Christ, I put his righteousness on you right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can know for sure right now that you are saved.
Right now.
If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you believe God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God has you on the list. He has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption.
Yes.
And the forgiveness of sin. You have it already.
Right.
He says, these things I've written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, 1 John 5:13, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, so you ought to know for sure that God's, he always does his end. You know, if there's any shortness in the relationship, it's on my end.
Yes.
God's end is perfect.
That's right.
Full and complete. It's perfect.
Yes.
He does everything he promised.
Right.
If he promised you eternal holiness and righteousness, so when you trust Christ, boom, it's on you right now. And I'm not taking it back because I'm God who does not change. I don't change. I wouldn't even give it to you to take it back. I'm giving it to you for keeps. But now think about this now. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. We have examples of this in the Word. Think about Ananias and Sapphira. They came in. They were saved. I expect to see them in heaven. But God decided, I'm going to chastise you because you lied to the Holy Spirit. Right in the infancy of the church. You came in trying to get the glory. Or I'm going to sell all and give it to the church. Then you decide you keep back apart for yourself. God said, oh, okay. Boom. Judgment. Now, I don't think they went to hell. I don't know. We'll find out. I honestly don't believe they went to hell, but they were judged and their life was cut short because they tried to play with God. And you know what? God loves you just like you are. He will save you no matter who you are. He will do it by Jesus Christ because Christ is the only way of salvation. And if you believe in him, you have eternal life. If you believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But God is not playing with anybody.
That's right.
He puts down the word, just like I said, he's given the word and it's being broadcast in all the world.
Right.
And it's up to me and you to make sure it reaches the ends of the
That's
earth.
Right.
You know,
Amen.
I'm happy about that. My purpose and my goal is defined for me already. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing the rest of my time
right.
on earth. I'm going to be trying to get this message out to as many as possible. That's what God has called me to. Not just me, but you.
Yes.
If you're saved, that should be your calling.
Amen.
There are people in your life and in your immediate sphere of influence who don't know Christ.
Amen.
You understand it.
Amen.
You know, you're being trained in righteousness and the truth is being given to you.
Yeah.
And so you are, therefore, you should be glad. To tell people the good news. They don't have to believe you. You don't have to make them believe. God didn't tell you to do that. We can't do that. One plants, another waters, but it's God who gives the increase. But you can tell them. You can tell them what you know. You can give them your testimony. You know. And when you do, God will energize that testimony. And he'll use it to bring some more people to the kingdom. So even when we are saved, there is an internal tendency to rely on ourselves rather than to learn to lean completely on God, who alone is holy and must confer real holiness to us.
Amen.
God does that.
Amen.
If we are to attain it, it comes from God.
Amen.
Since our own old nature is still very much alive on the inside of each of us and is still trying to remain in charge. Did you know that? You sense that?
Yep.
The old nature is still trying to run
yes.
the show on the inside of you. And to rationalize our present evil practices,
yep.
it says, oh, I have to do this. I've been doing this for so, so, and so, and so. And it makes excuses inside of you, the evil nature, to continue. And it wants to take credit for any success that you do. And deny God his glory for his mercy for the former. In other words, he gives us mercy for our mistakes and his grace for the latter. He gives us grace to make success and move forward. You know, but we want to take it from God. That's how the flesh is. So we have to come against that. You and I need to stand against that. God wants to progress you and move you forward. So let us strive to resolve all the differences that we see that are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit and God's word, which is true worship.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's no replacement for true worship.
That's right.
Remember, God told the woman at the well at the time that there's a time coming, and now he is.
Now he is.
When
huh?
the true worshipers
yes.
will worship God in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
You know,
that's
what true worship is, worshiping God in the spirit
yeah.
and in the truth. The spirit is his Holy Spirit who guides you and leads you, and the word is the truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. So when we worship, that's when God teaches us what our next mission is. You know, somebody's got a song like that. When I worship, when I bow at your feet, revelation, God is giving you what you need. When you worship, did you know that? No, when you worship the Lord, that's when he is filling you with the knowledge of the truth and dispatching you out to do it.
Yes.
And so let us strive to resolve all the differences that we see that are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, which is God and God's word, those two things. And with a truthful evaluation, we want to evaluate ourselves truthfully. I've given you a little punch list here on the handout. Evaluate yourself right. How is that according to the word? You be fervent in prayer. Don't ever
yes.
fail to pray.
Yes.
That's B. Number C, aggressive grace for our brothers and sisters. In other words, you know, well, we have a lot of grace for ourselves, but I don't have much for you, Douglas. You didn't do it right, and I'm going to be on you like a cheap suit. I misjudged my brothers.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
But you got to have an aggressive grace for other people
yes, you do.
Who are in the body of Christ. Jesus says it's easy for you to behold a speck in your brother's eye, and you look around that big old board, you got yours. So I can look over there and see what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
You know. So you want to have an aggressive grace for people who are out of sorts. They may not be at where you are in their walk, but you make sure you pursue their highest good like God is doing.
Yeah.
Be persistent in prayer to God for strength to defeat sin. We can't just give in and let sin have its way in our life.
Say it again.
Come against that sin with prayer.
Yes.
And don't let it get you in a closet where you think you're the only one having the issue.
Yeah.
You know, if you get in the closet, let it be a war room up in there. I'm
yeah.
going to take this before
yeah.
God, and I'm going to
yeah.
pray until I get this thing out of my life,
yeah.
whatever it is.
Yeah.
See? and be shameless with interpersonal confession and accountability.
Yes.
We got to get together. You're not the only one having a problem with sin.
Yes.
Everybody in the church has a problem with sin.
That's right.
You know, so don't let the devil tell you, oh, you're the only one going through that. You better not tell nobody about that. You know, that's how he's going to keep you in it.
Yes.
By you keeping it to yourself.
Right.
And always giving all the glory to God for all things through his son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the summary, basically, of how you can receive the holiness of God. God wants you to have it. He wants you to start by a right relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved, we want to give you the opportunity today. If you have never declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior,
yes,
do it today. This is the best day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
No,
come right now. While the blood is running warm in your veins, God is ready to receive you. We are here to teach you. We're going through the same kind of stuff you're going through. Everybody here, we all have issues. God's working them out.
Amen.
So if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to give you that opportunity to come right now. And if you need, we've had special prayer here today.
Mm-hmm.
Know that God heard those prayers.
Yes.
And everything that was declared to you in prayer and in worship today, take it to heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it to the bank. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. God said, take it to the bank. You know, it's yours. It belongs to you in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here and you would like to, you're already saved, and you'd like to make this your church home, we want to also give you that opportunity that you might come and make that known to the saints here today. Amen. As you can tell, we are a serious church. We're into the Word, and we love God's Word and His praise. Amen. So if you're here today and you would like to unite with St. Timothy, we invite you to come right now. We give you that opportunity. Amen. Amen. And if you're here for any other reason today, we just want to say we thank you for coming today. And if there's any other thing we can do for you as a church, we want to let you know we are here for you at all times. We thank God for establishing us at this particular time in history. Amen. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. And we live in some troubling times. Want to say thanks again and a welcome to the visitors who are here.
Yes.
Amen. We thank God for you. I'm going to go ahead and give you a hand. Amen. And we ask you to continue to come if you enjoyed yourself. We hope you did. We'll give you space. If you want to say anything, you may at this time. You don't have to, but it's up to you, any of you who are here that are visiting. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for you, and we're going to go ahead, if all minds are clear, we will have a